Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that time there were some there who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you all will also perish." Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all also perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to it looking for fruit, but he found none. And so he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I have come to my fig tree looking for fruit, and I haven't found any at all. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man said, "let it go for another year, and I will dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, then fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father
through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, you just never know. I finished a biography yesterday on Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, famous man in history. There were two things that he was absolutely sure of. From a very early age, he was sure that he was going to achieve great things in his life. He was just sure of that. The second thing he was absolutely sure of was that he was not going to live very long. His father and his grandfather had both died at a young age, and so he expected that he was going to die young. And so if he was going to achieve great things in his life and he only had a limited amount of time to do it in, it caused him to take all kinds of risks. He was in the military. He was in a number of battles, both in Africa and Asia, and then in the Second World War. He took outrageous risks in order to be noticed, to gain recognition, and to get a foot into Parliament. And so there was one time in World War II where he was in the front lines, and he had just left the dugout to go see his commanding officer when an artillery shell hit that dugout, and it killed everybody that was in that dugout. And once again, it was one of those things where he thought, well, it wasn't my time yet. And he went on to achieve all those great things. He was First Lord of the Admiralty. He was a minister in various portfolios. And then, of course, famously in World War II, was the Prime Minister of England. And, oh, by the way, he lived to 90 years of age. You just never know. You and I don't know how much time we have in this world. It's probably a good thing that we don't. But St. Paul, in our epistle lesson today, talks about how much time they had. Now, understand something. They all thought they had more time. When Jesus talks about the Galileans who were killed by Pilate, they were making a protest that day. They assumed that they were going to be around the next day too. They had no idea that Pilate had already issued to his soldiers an order that they were to kill them. And so they were slain by the sword. Or those 18 people that Jesus mentions when the Tower of Siloam fell down and killed them. Well, those 18 people, they expected that tomorrow and the next day were theirs. They had no idea that their life was going to come to an end like that. How many times is it that you and I, we know people that are killed accidentally or have a heart attack and they die? They just always assume that they would have more time, but we just never know. When Jesus is talking to his hearers, you know, his hearers had the idea that those people, those Galileans that were killed, those people when the Tower of Siloam fell, that maybe God was punishing them because they were bad people. And that's why he says, do you think that those people were worse than all the others? He says, no. And he says, and if you don't repent, you too will perish. And I don't think he's just talking about physical death. I think he's talking about spiritual death too. That the moment we start thinking that we're pretty good, you know, and God's got his eye on us, we don't know. We never know. We don't know when we'll be called home. So Jesus says, repent. And the word he uses for repent there means to repent continuously. You and I need to repent continuously because sin is always with us. And we always have this temptation to fall back into sin, to take our relationship with God and take that not very seriously at all. In fact, in the epistle, Paul says in verse 12, so, if you think you are standing firm, be careful so that you don't fall. You just never know. Think back when 9/11 happened. Those 3,000 people went to work that day, fought through the traffic, you know, to get to the island of Manhattan. They got up there in the building. They had paperwork laying on their desk they had to get to. They had telephone calls to make, telephone calls to receive. The secretaries were getting orders from the bosses, and the bosses were giving orders to the secretaries. It was just another work day. It was a Tuesday morning, for Pete's sake. Beautiful, clear sky out there. And every one of those people thought to themselves that when the workday was over, they were going to have to make their commute back to home and they were going to see their families again. And they didn't. And every time a plane crashes or a train crashes or a car crashes, every time somebody dies accidentally, every time somebody has a heart attack while they're just taking a shower in the morning, every time somebody has a stroke, not one of those people thought that today was going to be the last day, and yet we just never know. And then there's always that temptation to say, well, I'll get around to those things later. You know, for you young people, you sort of think, I got a long life yet, you know, and I can get involved in church things, or I can get really serious about my faith, or I can get, don't kid yourselves. There's not a one of us that knows how much time we have. And we're also told in that Old Testament passage today that just because we live a righteous life here doesn't mean that when we fall away and we get involved in pagan things that that's not going to be the way that we're going to be remembered. How many people have I talked to over the years that when I said I'm from Grace Lutheran, they go, oh yeah, I went to preschool there. Yeah, what are you doing these days? Or they'll say, oh yeah, that's where I was baptized and confirmed. Yeah, well, what are you doing with it today? It's not just enough to say, oh, I had a good start back here, but now I've, you know, fallen into bad things. I can remember when I was maybe in my second, third year here, the elders went out and made some visits on people that hadn't been in church in a long time, and two of them visited a young lady that hadn't been in church in over 2 years. So they talked with her a little bit, and then one of them asked her a question. They said, well, do you want to maintain your membership at Grace? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, things have been going really good for me, but you never know. Trouble could come, and then I'll need church. And when I heard that, I thought, well, that's the old rabbit's foot thing, right? Yeah, I want to keep God, you know, about out here. I keep him in my pocket like that lucky penny that you carry around, that little angel pin you got on your sleeve. You just never know when trouble might come, and then I'll need the Lord. And you think, wow, do you not understand? You don't know when that day will come. It'll come on you like a thief in the night, Jesus said. And so he says, be ready, be watching. And so for you and me, there's always this temptation to put things aside and say, well, I'll get serious about that later. And our text for today reminds us that no, we don't know that we're going to have tomorrow. And so we want to be serious about it today. The sad thing is, my sin kills me. Your sin kills you. Sin does that. And unless we attend to it, unless we keep in that relationship, that saving relationship with the Lord, it's exactly what it aims to do. There's a passage in Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8 is one of the best passages in the whole scripture. You should read it every day. Paul says, hey, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is good news. But there's one passage in there that I used to really puzzle about. It's the passage that says, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And I remember I'd read that and I'd think, well, before it and after it, he's talking about our victory in Christ. But he has this passage in there about, you know, we're like sheep to be slaughtered. And I was just never sure what he was getting at there. And then came my daughter's first day of middle school. She was a sixth grader. She's going to ride the bus to school now. For 5 years, I've taken her to school and picked her up every day. And now she's going to ride the bus. So we went outside and we got the obligatory first day of school picture taken. And then I gave her a kiss and I told her I loved her and I sent her off. And so she walked down to the corner, she crossed the street, and she walked down to the bus stop. And she disappeared behind the corner of the neighbor's house. And the whole time I was waiting for her to turn back and wave to me. And the girl never looked back. And I thought, I'll bet there's some 7th and 8th grade boys down at the bus stop. And I got so sad because it was like, my little girl's growing up, you know. And I got this sad feeling, and she told me years later that she didn't look back because she thought she'd start to cry, you know. So then I felt better about it. But but that day I felt very sad, and I turned to go into the house, and just as I'm going into the house, that passage came to my mind. For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. And I remember thinking, what does that have to do with the way I feel right now? But I thought about that all day long, and I finally got it. I finally understood what it is that Paul's saying. See, every day I assumed I'd send my kids off to school, my wife would go off to work, I would go off to work, and I assumed that we would be back together, all of us, for supper. I assumed it every day. And thanks be to God, that's exactly what happened. But the fact is, you and I never know when or where or how. I have no absolute assurance that I'm going to get home from church today. I assume that I will. I figure I will. I pray that I will. But somebody could do something stupid out there on the road, and it could be me. And then I might be dead. And every day I assume that the family is out there, but every day we are vulnerable. We don't know when that moment will come. And that's why there's a sense of urgency that Paul has, where he says, you want to have that relationship with the Lord. You want that to be a part of your life every single day. See, we're prone to be tempted. To be tempted to take those things lightly, to put them aside for now, to attend to our relationship with the Lord with sort of, you know, a half of an assurance. I'm glad you're all here at church today. Because it would have been easy to get up this morning and go, you know, there'll be church next week, or we could go Wednesday night, you know. And you're here. And that's great. And we have that temptation every Sunday, because the last place in the world Satan wanted you to be today is sitting in this pew. He wanted you to be anywhere but. And so that relationship with the Lord is something that we have to attend to all the time. And sure, we're going to fall at times. We're going to fall prey to our sinfulness and those foibles that every one of us has. But that's where repentance comes in, where we recognize our sin and we confess that before the Lord and we turn back to Him, because He's always willing to bring us back. And we do the best we can to cover ourselves with Jesus every day, to be into His Word, to walk in His ways, to allow His grace to cover us and protect us from all that would lead us away, and to have that urgency, because, folks, we just never know. We just never know for sure. When I send you a birthday card, I write Pastor K, and then underneath it I put Psalm 16, verse 8. That's my signature verse. And that verse says, I keep the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I like that passage. I like that passage a lot, because it's been my experience now in 20-some years as a pastor and in 65 years as a person that we just never know how things are going to go. If there's a hurricane coming, we get almost a week's notice of that. They tell us already, oh, there's a tropical depression out here in the Atlantic. And then they say, oh, now it's up there, it's a tropical storm. Oh, it's Category 1, Category 2. And then they start, you know, projecting where it's going to make landfall. And there's really no excuse for anybody to be killed by a hurricane, because we get lots of notice. Get out of the way. Get out of there. And when we have some tornadic weather, we'll get some of that here in the spring, no doubt. And the weathermen will get all excited about it, and they'll get their Doppler radar up there, and they'll go, see this little hook right here? That could be a tornado, you know. And when they spot a tornado, they get really frantic, and they start telling you, you know, that line is going up, and they tell you all the towns that are in its path, and they say, if you're in that line, you need to get to shelter. We get warnings about those things. But there is a natural phenomenon for which no one has devised an early warning way. And for you California people, it's an earthquake, huh? Nobody can warn you that an earthquake is coming. It just happens. One minute you're eating your breakfast, next minute the ceiling's on your head. There is no warning. And it's been my experience that that's how things happen in life. One minute everything is fine, then the telephone rings. And he identifies himself as the sheriff's deputy in Tuscola County in Michigan, and he says, "I'm sorry to tell you, but your brother's been killed in a car accident. Happened to me in December. Never want that call, but it was there." Or, "Everything is fine." Telephone rings, and it's the doctor's office calling back to report on your latest x-ray or your latest test results, and they say, "Doctor didn't really like what he saw here. He'd like you to see you," or worse yet, he says, "I want you to go and see an oncologist," or, you know, those calls come. One minute everything is fine, and then you start to notice that you've got this pain radiating down your left arm, and all of a sudden you're having trouble breathing. These things come on us like earthquakes. There is no preparation. There's no warning. All of a sudden, boom. One minute everything is fine, and the next moment everything is a mess. And that's why I like that passage. It says, "I keep the Lord always before me." See, if he's always before me, he's right here in the center of my life. Whatever I'm dealing with, whomever I'm dealing with, whatever is going on, if the Lord is at the center of my life, then the Lord is always, I see everything through him. And it says, "Because he is at my right hand," right here, "I will not be shaken." And that word in the Hebrew has the connotation means shaken to pieces. I won't be shaken to pieces because I know that the Lord is there with me whatever comes. And folks, having the Lord there, it's not so much that when trouble comes, I can reach out and grab hold of him. That might not work so well. But I want the Lord to be close by so that when trouble comes, he can reach out and take hold of me. Because, folks, you just never know. But we know this, that as long as the Lord Jesus Christ is in our life, as long as we have the Lord in our life, and we have a relationship with him, then whatever comes, however it comes, we're safe in his hand. He's already taken care of everything that's most important to us. We're safe with him. And so we rejoice in that. We work to keep that relationship whole because we just never know. But we know this, we belong to him. Our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, for the grace we received through him, for the sins forgiven on the cross, and the hope in his resurrection. Help us never to take to take anything for granted that you've given us. Bless us to number our days in the Lord, and bless us with a repentant urgency to make each day count in the Lord. So forgive us when we sin and do evil. Move us to turn from such things and live in your righteousness. Bless us to express your righteousness so clearly that the unrighteous may also be led to repentance and in your salvation. We pray, Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, we are grateful for all your gifts, and we would just ask that you would bless those in our midst who are in need of your care and help. Grant them your favor, grant them your grace. Give to them what is helpful and necessary. Help them to be sustained in this time. Help them to overcome their difficulties. Lord, in all things, make yourself known to them and deliver them as only you can. We pray, Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that we have in our country. We thank you for the gifts that we have, all that we have, Lord. We give thanks that you have given us these things, and we pray that you'd help us never take them for granted either. Help us to bless one another in our words and in our actions, in our communities. Help us to be people who foster peace. We pray, Lord, that you would also bless our service people who serve our nation. We thank you for their service, and we pray that you keep them well and strong and able, and in all things blessed by your hand. We pray, Lord, in your mercy. We pray all of these things now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and who himself has also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.